During the course of the last several days, Sister Crosswhite and I have, you know how you go through things, and she gave me one of my journals. I'm not too much of a journal keeper, but this was during the time of COVID, and just little things that the Lord would speak to me and things I wrote down. And would you know it that today, as always, the Lord always gives confirmations. And I mean, I picked this thing up and I opened it up and I'm starting reading things, and the Lord began to minister to me as I began to read. And I mean, I started getting excited, and to find that even what I wrote back then, little did I know that April the 4th, 2020, when I was writing this down, that today that the Lord would let me go back to a well that I found, a well that I found well dug, amen, flowing. Amen. I got to go back and drink of it again. Amen. And refresh my soul. There's something about it today. Amen. That old taste of the well of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It quenches your soul. Just does something to you. Amen. And I'm so blessed today for the quenching of the Holy Ghost. How it quenches the thirst inside of our soul. Amen. And have you ever been thirsty for something and you could not find anything to quench your thirst? You had more than a dry tongue, but something inside of you, you could not satisfy and quench. And I feel like there has been a lot of thirst, a lot of things that seems not to have a quenching effect. But oh, friend, when you get a drink of the well of the Holy Ghost, there's something about how it quenches the soul, how it blesses the heart. Amen. And today, that's what it happened. Amen. And I love it because when God gives you a drink, amen, of the well of the living water, something begins to flow. And I want to share with you tonight, amen, what the Lord has directed me today and my time of seeking the Lord. And I want to be one that like the little man that has, every time there's a big flood or rain or storm, amen, they say that there is a gentleman, he's an elderly man, that will go to Galveston Beach with a metal detector. And this man is an amazing treasure hunter. They tell me that this man has found thousands of dollars worth of gold and things that people have lost during time they were swimming and partying at the beach. He likes to go after they have their big old summer spring break. And he says, you know, these people don't even realize they're losing things. But their loss is his gain. And I want to just say this today. I think I found something that's keeping me, something that's helping me, something that's blessing me. This man said he's retired on Social Security, but he makes more by combing the beach searching for treasure than he makes on Social Security every week or every month. And I want to tell you, there's something about that when you look for the treasures of the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I just don't want to be a treasure finder, but I want to be a treasure keeper. Amen. And we're so blessed tonight for the goodness of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I don't want to ever let go of the things, treasures all my life. And there's things, I talked to Brother Dathan Tipton, Brother Don Tipton today, but Brother Dathan Tipton made a statement. He said every time that he and his son, they do something together, if they go hunting together, they always have something that he'll buy for he and his son as a token, a memory. If several years ago when he was 13 years old, Daniel was 13, Isaac was 13, we got our heads together and we took those boys on a goose hunt and we talked to them about some things. And well, Daniel, when Brother Tipton was talking to him, he said, Daniel, I got something for you and something for me. They're matching. And he pulled out a knife and he handed it to his son. And he said, this knife is something I want you to remember this day about. And, you know, I forgot all about it. Till he told me, he said, you know, we started a tradition, Brother Crosswhite. He said, there's a token. And he said, sometimes Daniel comes and said, Dad, you remember these? And they pulled out one of these memories and they get to talking about it. And he said, you know, I wish we'd start doing that in church. That we can hang on to some old memories and some things what God's done. We don't need to leave them in the past and in the forgotten underneath the sand. Amen. But we want those things to be treasured. Amen. All friend, things that you could take back. How many of those of you that's been around a few years remember a special service where the Holy Ghost fell and you got something, a treasure from God? Amen. Oh, have you ever been in a service where you watched somebody healed? Amen. Of something, how the Holy Ghost reached down and healed somebody visibly? Amen. Oh, do you remember a service where the power of God fell, and you watch somebody walk in chained in sin and oh shame, and the Holy Ghost came and broke the chains, and they're living for God today. You remember those services? Amen. Have you remember a service where somebody come in battling, fighting, but the Holy Ghost fell and gave them victory that day? I'm thankful for the treasures of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. The wells that God has allowed me to drink from and dwell around. You know, when they used to have a well or a water source, that's where they would build their city around. And cities were built around water sources. And good water sources is very valuable. I want to tell you, you need to build your life around the well tonight. Amen. Build your life around the things of God. Cherish it. Amen. The Bible says the Philistines would come and stop up the wells back in the Old Testament time. But there was a man who said he redug the wells that his father had dug. Oh, friend, I want to go unstop some wells, amen, that the enemy has covered up. I want that old fire to burn, that old water to flow, amen, that it happened when I was a kid, sitting in the back of a church as a little boy, looking over those pews and seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost, seeing the glory of God, seeing people worship God, amen, watching them walk in one way and leaving a brand new person, amen. How many are hungry for that today? Amen, the glory of those things. It's time to redig the wells. It's time to get the treasures back. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm excited for the things of God tonight. Praise God. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord tonight. My soul's rejoicing. Hallelujah. Because I'm refreshed by some things that the Lord has helped me to get back. Praise God. Isaiah, the 26th chapter, verses 3 and 4. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Man, the context of this, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. I want my mind to stay on the Lord. I want to talk about the benefits of staying in the right lane tonight. The benefits of staying in the right lane. You can get in the wrong lane. Joel's employee the other day, I think he was 26 years old, two babies and a young wife, on the way to work because he was late for work in a construction zone. In a hurry, right before Christmas season, this young man passed. And in that construction zone, he hit somebody head on, and he was killed instantly because he was in the wrong lane at the wrong time. I want to stay in the right lane with God. How about you? I want the goodness and the peace of God all over me. Amen. He said, "I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." I want to stay in the right lane of thinking, the right lane of living, the right lane of walking with God and knowing my Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you thank the Lord with me? Thank you tonight, God, for the power of your Spirit. Hallelujah. The goodness of the Holy Ghost, the goodness of your ways. We worship you. We praise your beautiful name. Thank you today for the comfort that you give, Lord. The promises and the assurances that you give, Lord. We thank you today for the beauty and the power of your living waters. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Oh, I pray tonight that I can encourage you some way, somehow. Amen. But I find in the scripture here tonight, amen, the beauty of the word of the Lord, that there is something that staying in the right lane, in that place of walk where your mind is staying on the Lord, that channel of thought, the right lane of thinking, that right lane of living. When you make up your mind, my old pastor would say it. He said, if you can make up your mind to live for God, you got half the victory already. You got half the journey already. Amen. I pray tonight that in this service that somebody would make up your mind. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to make it. Amen. There's some that's already made up their mind. But, oh, friend, I want you to buckle it down tonight and say, God, amen, I want to stay in the right lane. I want to make it. Amen. I cannot afford, amen, to lose what God you have given me. I can't afford to let something in my back, in my past that you've done, become buried under the sand. I don't want my treasure to be lost behind me, but I want to treasure everything you've done for me. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here. I feel the liberty of God right now. Hallelujah. God wants to refresh somebody. Amen. God wants to quench that thirst inside of you. God wants you to feel his grace all over again. Woo, hallelujah. My, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another hand. I feel him. Woo, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. You know, I can remember Brother Savala, amen, you do too, in services as a child. I'm a little bit older than he is, but I can remember services where the preaching of the Word of God, where people couldn't stand it any longer. Oh, we shouted during the singing, but I want to tell you, there was something about shouting during the preaching. Oh, God. I'm ready to see it again where somebody can't hold it any longer. The power of God begins to spring up inside of them. Amen. That they can't contain it any longer. Amen. Oh, the goodness of God is found again in that heart and that life. There's something about the beauty and the power, amen, of the Holy Ghost in operation. But Deuteronomy, I mean, the book of Isaiah, it said, there's perfect peace whose mind that's stayed on the Lord. And you know, when something that's stayed, that means that's continued. It means there's an effort. And I know that living for God today, it's going to take effort, intention. With everything inside of you, when you sell out, there's something about the sold out can't be bought out. Amen. And how wonderful it is whenever you start feeling the touch of the Lord and you realize what you've got. And, you know, as I walk with God, I find out who I am in Christ. I find out who I am and whose I am. As a girl, I find that he loves me. He cares about me. There's something about me that he really, amen, is fond of. But I find out something else. I find out who I'm not on my own. On my own, you could build your personality. You could build your character. You could build your ways. You could build your skills. You could build your education. You could build a reputation. But hear me, friend, amen, you're going to realize one day who you're not. A man can exercise. I look at Brother David Clark. This man physically was a very strong man. I mean, this man would work out. I mean, physically, he would walk. Physically, he ate the right thing. I ate a bag of chips. He was eating celery. We go to eat somewhere, he's eating a salad, and I mean tacos. We go to McDonald's, and he's not going to get a hamburger. He's going to get salad. But this man today has had strokes, and now he has a beginning stage of dementia. It bothers me. It bugs me. And it, you know what bugs him the most? Because he does not have control sometimes. He can't remember. And it bugs him that he's not capable to do things. He realizes that some things that he's not any longer. Amen. But, oh, friend, there's one thing that the other day, the power of the Lord, we were sitting around a campfire, and the power of the Holy Ghost began to move. And I looked at Brother David Clark, and I seen something happen. He looked at me, and he said, Elder, he said, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. And out of his mouth start coming things that and encouragement. Amen. The word of God started coming out. He started quoting some scripture and began to put some things together. And over the power and the beauty of the work of God began to flow. I'm telling you, what really matters is not me impressing you and impressing somebody else. But I want to bless God. I want to magnify God with my life. I want my mind to be made up. I want my foot on the rock and my mind to be made up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Deuteronomy says this in the 30th chapter, verse 20. It says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. Cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And the length of thy days that thou may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob, to give them. This is God's promise. He said, but that you may love the Lord, obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him. Well, this is thy life. I want to tell somebody, this should be your life. You need to build your life around this well. Build your life. Your whole, everything should dwell around the well. My brother Brian lives in the country of Croatia, and he visits all different places, Rome and Europe. He's in Africa. He's in all different places. But he tells me that in a lot of these old countries, still today, when people get off work, they go home, they get dressed up, and they go to what they call the mall, which is not a mall like you think, would be a downtown area where there's vendors. And he said, they would go around, and he said, they'd just sit around, and it's around the center of the town. Usually there's a well there, and they sit around that area where that fountain is, and they talk and they visit with people. And he said, there's a sense of community strength there. I want to tell you, the house of God and our relationship with God and our relationship within the church ought to be a strengthening thing. It ought to be where it shouldn't be where we come to the house of God that we're kicking each other, biting each other, backstabbing each other, but that we have strength for one another. That there is something about drinking and sharing from the well and the goodness of the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord tonight. Amen. That we got more than just a testimony, but we got the God of heaven living inside us. I got more than a story to tell. I got Jesus at work in my life. Hallelujah. Staying in that right lane. Making sure that you stay right there. The scripture we just read, it talks about cleaving to him, obeying his voice. Romans says this. It says, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. In other words, it said, abhor that which is evil. Stay away from that. Stay away from the out of the other lane. The other lane of thinking. The worldly thinking. Brother Savala talked about it a while ago. We don't act like the world. We don't look like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't walk like the world. We're not of the world. Amen. It should be a difference. But then that scripture says, cleave to that which is good. I want to hang on to some things. I want to hang on. I'm going to cleave unto some good things in my life. Amen. I don't want to let those things go. I don't want them to be a distant, faded, dusty memory. Now, y'all remember a lot of memories tonight, but some of you young people, I mean, y'all have to just bear with me. But we used to go on vacation, and we used to get souvenirs. And I can remember going places, and they just, one of the stores in Appleby where I live at, they just made it a Stuckey's. How many of you remember Stuckey's years ago? When you traveled, a lot of, says, carry you that old, you raise your hand. I can remember stopping, amen, at Stuckey's, and they always had souvenirs. And whether it was that little plastic dome with a little scenery inside of it with sparkly, glittery stuff that you shake, it had water. Yeah, you remember those? And postcards, we would get souvenirs where we would go to somewhere. And my mama had things on the refrigerator, little magnets of, you know, Chattanooga, Tennessee, the choo-choo there, or Lookout Mountain. We had all different things where we went. And they were all just little memoirs and reminders of little places we went. Amen. I want to tell somebody, we need some reminding where God has brought us from. Some victories. Amen. We need to hang on to it. We don't let it become just something old and cold, but let it stay vibrant inside of you. Let it be still part of your life. Let it still be part of the way that you're living. Now, Sister Crosswhite and I, several years ago, we've learned whenever it comes our birthday or we want to do something for each other that a lot of times things don't matter. I'll ask her what you want for your birthday. She said, I want a memory. Let's go do something together. And that don't mean go to eat somewhere. She said, I want to do something. And she wants to build a memory. And that's important to us now. Building and making and keeping some things as a memory. And great things begin to happen for people that cherish and treasure time together. And, you know, when you're a kid, especially you look at children today, this time of the year, your parents would get them things and the kids would play with the box. Yeah. I mean, and I look at all the junk, and I was picking the other day and I made a statement to my wife. I said, we could go up into my grandkids' toy room at my house and get some of their toys and wrap them up and they never knew it was from their toy box. Because I went in the other day and I sorted through them and I go, oh my. The things that Asher's outgrowing, Henry's starting to grow in too. But, you know, these kids really, but the greatest thing you could ever give is a memory, to give a treasure, something that's still valuable, something that we still esteem and cling to and say, this is important. Amen. Vital things. Amen. The book of Proverbs is full of different treasures that you read. Amen. And four vital things in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, I read in my journal, four vital things was wisdom, understanding, instruction, and application. Wisdom, understanding, instruction, and application. What good is wisdom if you don't apply it? What good is understanding if it's not applied? And what good is instruction if it's not followed? Amen. Application is the key thing here. The key that opens and unlocks and helps you is the activator for the things that God has given to us. God gives wisdom. You get the ability like to go, wow, you see something in a different manner that you used to not see. That's wisdom. But friend, wisdom that is not applied becomes just something in your rearview mirror. I want to follow God. I want to use wisdom. What about understanding? When God gives you understanding, where all of a sudden you go, oh, I see clearly what you're saying now. Oh, I see clearly now what not to do. Amen. How many's ever had a good learning before of what not to do? Amen. They tell you, Mark Twain, and I've probably quoted this 100 times already, but Mark Twain said something. He said, a cat could get on a hot stove one time, and he's not going to get on a cold stove. He learns. Understanding, when you recognize that something's hot, amen, you're not going to go back to it. When you recognize sin and have understanding what iniquity and sin is, amen, what trespassing is, what harm and comes against God, what harms you, amen, you're not going to go down that lane anymore. You're going to stay on the right lane. You're not going to take that journey. Amen. The devil paints a beautiful picture to tell you, to try to entice you. It's kind of like, I don't know why, but we're talking about it. I want to just talk about it again. Amen. When we was a kid, we would travel. We was going to Chattanooga. Way before you get to Chattanooga, you seen big old billboards that see Ruby Falls. See Rock City. Billboard after billboard. And see Ruby Fall. See Ruby. And I told my mom and dad, I said, I'm so tired of seeing Ruby Fall. You know, all these enticements. And I can remember going to some of these places and they were nothing. I'm grand. It was nothing but a tourist trap, basically. Where you just go in and you go, there's nothing big about this. Have you ever been in a tourist trap? I'm telling you, it's kind of like a speed trap, huh? Yeah. But friend, you learn. Once you've been there, you learn. And you think, I'm not going to do that again. I've learned my lesson. Uh-huh. And it's kind of like big time restaurants. You think, man, I need to go there. I can remember several years ago, maybe about 15 years ago, when I was a Sunday school director for the United Pentecostal Church here in Texas. Every year I would go to St. Louis, and I knew that, I said, I'm done. I'm going to resign from this position. And through the years, I've been very conservative. I've done things. I said, but this year, I told Sister Crosswhite, you're going with me. And we're going to eat. We're going to dine it up. I said, man, I've always been conservative. But this time, I said, we're going and we're going to enjoy it. So we went. And everybody said, man, you need to go to this particular steakhouse. And they beefed it up everybody talked. We went there, and they met you at the door, and the guy had his head up in the air, and, you know, a real fancy deal. They brought us to our table, and we waited. And finally, they came out, and, I mean, we looked at the menu, and I go, oh, no. Whoo, no wonder we don't come to places like this. And they would bring your salad, then you wait about 2 centuries to get something else. And I mean, it was supposed to be this, you know, fancy stuff. And when they brought the steak finally, Brother Savala, I mean, you mean I'm paying that much for a little piece of meat like this? Oh, yeah. And I mean, it was like, whoa. You know, I've never been back to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Yeah, I learned my lesson. And I'm telling you, amen. Sister Crosswhite and I, we'll pick on each other. So you want Ruth Chris? She would look at me, no, amen, we've learned. We've been burned by some things. Friend, amen, I'm thankful there's some understanding God turns the light on. But friend, application, instructions the same way. Can you take instruction in God? To stay in the right lane, you got to follow what God said, some instruction. I know people that just hate taking instruction. I know people that are smart enough, Brother Robbie's smart enough, that he gets something, he could throw the instructions away and put it together. But I've seen people like Brother Robbie had to go dig the instructions out of the trash can. Mm-hmm. We need instructions. But without application, instructions is nothing but words. But how beautiful when something comes together, when something works, because you followed instructions, you stayed in the right lane. And look at Proverbs. It talked about inclining your ear. Obedience is inclining your ear. It talks about those that are haters of instruction and despisers of reproof. But it talks about the person that inclines their ear. That word incline means to lean forward, as to grasp and to catch. Have you ever had to read lips before? You couldn't understand somebody. Maybe they talked a little bit soft or a little bit fast or a different accent, and you had to read their lips. I mean, when you incline your ear, you're doing your best to catch something. Have you ever been around somebody you knew that had wisdom to impart or something great, and you want to hear every little detail? And you listen and you try to catch it all and capture it all. I want that to be in the Holy Ghost tonight. I don't want to ever come to the house of God without an ear that is inclined to grasp and get a hold of what God has. Hear me, saying of God. It's important that we don't waste our time in the house of God, but we get a hold of what thus the Spirit is saying. I want what the Holy Ghost has for me. I want every detail that God has. The details of God matters. Hallelujah. Lean to it. Hallelujah. Lean forward to the things of God. Catch it. Amen. And there's some untold benefits of living right. Man, you start bypassing regrets and you start staying in the right lane. You're living right. There's a happiness within the soul. There's a joy. There's a completion. There's something that satisfies your soul that keeps you keeping on. There's an encouragement. There's a personal hope that God gives you. There's a personal flow. And I'm reading my journal. And I had wrote some words down from 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked with the unbeliever. My brother was talking about that a while ago. We don't yoke together with the world because we're not of the world. You don't put a goat and a horse together to plow. An ox and a donkey don't work together. And worldliness, ungodliness, and righteousness does not mix. I'm sorry. Amen. That's the word. Somebody say amen. Amen. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not. Everybody say, touch not. Touch not the unclean thing. You know, I remember years ago talking to a young man and teaching him, and I was teaching, he said, why don't you folks wear jewelry? And I told him why. I gave him the New Testament instructions, and he said, what about this cross that I wear? He said, it's a sign of Christianity. I said, man, that cross is not a sign of Christianity. I said, I grew up in South Louisiana. A cross don't help you. I said, the priest would come and bless that. But I said, they use that cross even in voodoo places where the witches were used that. I said, there's no power in that old cross. And I said, why wear it around your neck? Jesus is not on the cross. He's alive. And I said, to me, that would be an anti-God thing for me to wear a cross. Amen. It don't mean you're a Christian. I tell people in the jail that. They make crosses out of plastic stuff, like plastic bags. They'll weave it and make them a cross. I want to tell you, a cross don't make you a Christian. But bearing that cross on your shoulders every day will make you a child of the King. Amen. Instead of wearing a cross, we need to learn how to carry a cross. Somebody say amen. There's a joy in carrying the things of God. When I explained that to that young man, I can remember him looking with tears in his eyes, and he's saying, Oh, brother, that is so amazing. And from that day forth, God helped him. And today he's still the same. He's still living for God. And 2 Corinthians said, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Working on my way with God. Working and standing in that right lane. Working on my walking skills with God. Working on my talking skills with my brother. Working on my relationship with God and the things of this world. Amen. Casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought. Mm-hmm. A lot of your battle starts right here, Rachel. Amen. Brother Brian, a lot of the battles that you battle are right between right here. And if you don't bring every thought, if you don't wrestle the thoughts into obedience, I guarantee you, it's kind of like a spring. If it's not contained, that spring, when it springs, I mean, boom, it'll just go anywhere. It's harmful. It's dangerous. These thoughts, when you just let them have its way, they'll take over. That's the reason why we got to put our thoughts in submission and crucify our flesh. Amen. And work on us the way we think. You can't think like the world. Then the scripture says you got to have a readiness to revenge all disobedience. You got to have the ability to say, I want to put out every little fire that starts firing up that's against God. Every little thing that pops up that looks like the world, acts like the world, tastes like the world, smells like the world. If it's of the world, I'm going to come against it. If it's disobedient in any form, any measure, any fashion, I'm not having any part with it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then the next, it says, keep the commandments and lay them up as a treasure. We keep the commandments of God and lay them up as a treasure. And this is where I want to bring you to tonight. This is what I wrote in my journal. That day was April the 4th, 2020. Obligational privileges. Obligational privileges. Let me tell you what it means. It's an obligation to keep the things of God, but it's also a privilege. Amen. It's a privilege to be a child of the King. It's a privilege to be free from sin. It's a privilege to live for God and say no to the things of ungodliness and to keep the commandments. The Bible says, keep my commandments in Proverbs 4:4 and live. Keep wisdom and it shall keep you. The entire chapter of 4 of Proverbs is an obligation to keep some things, amen, that is there, holy and righteous, to keep the fear of God alive in your life, to stay in that right line. Oh, it's an obligation, but it's also a privilege. It should never be an insult. Jesus was not ashamed to be shamed for you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation, Paul said. I'm thankful today for the glory, for the privilege to live for God, to walk for God, and to be a separate person, a different individual, to be an oddball to this world. It's my obligation, but it's also my privilege. In order to be dedicated to God, you got to be dedicated to what is God's. You got to be dedicated to His law, His ways, His expectation, His word. And when you dedicate yourself, how beautiful it is whenever you start keeping yourself in the right lane of godliness and righteousness. God starts blessing, God starts ministering. There's a peace, there's a joy. The scripture said, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And I'm thankful tonight that when you keep the treasure, a treasure, you keep it. It's kind of like, you ever been to somebody's house that had all these, what we used to call what, whatnots? Yeah, you know. You think about, we had a little couple that pastored in West Texas. They were dear to our heart. They had no children. And they were old enough to be my grandparents back then. And they pastored about 17 miles from us in a deserted little town called Colorado City, Texas. And Brother and Sister Sanders, she had all these little figurines in her house. But the thing about it, their eyes became dim. And they were very neat people. But what happened is all their stuff became dusted and she couldn't see the dust any longer. She would take her feather duster and she would dust, and the front of it looked pretty good. but because of her eyesight and the lights and the adjustments, a lot of her stuff was dusty. Became dusty. But every one of those little things had a story. She would pick up that little bell, and it had a little cardinal on it, a little red bird. And she said, oh, this was given to me by my nephew, Robert. This was given to me by this one. And she would pick, every one of them had a story. But what's tragic was, we were in Germany, and we come back home, and when we landed back in America, we found out Brother Sister Sanders, both were killed in a car wreck. One was killed immediately, the other died. And all her treasures of her house, all those treasures, a relative came, boxed them up, took them to Goodwill. All those little memories, somebody else maybe bought it at Goodwill, maybe they did not. And if they did, it didn't mean what it meant to Sister Sanders. Those little gadgets that Brother Sanders had didn't mean nearly as much to the person that found it at Goodwill or the garage sale. In the hands of the other people, it really wasn't a treasure. It was just another little thing that they bought, a little knick-knack. I don't want to ever let the treasures become a knick-knack. I want to keep them things a treasure in my life. They're valuable to my soul, the things of God. It was valuable to me to be able to pastor and look through here today. Do you realize this is in this little book was in time of COVID. Sister Peggy Oliver passed away. I wrote it down. Sister Sharon's dad, Brother Ramsey. Different ones that passed away. And I look back today and had a little time. A little sacred time. I said, God, I don't want to ever lose. Not just a sentimental value, but a real value of what you've done for me through my life. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm thankful that the same power, amen, is still here today that I feel. Even all day long, I felt the Spirit of the Lord. I feel Him right now. Even the love of God. When you start focusing and keeping your mind in the right lane, even in the house of God, being attentive to the preaching, and listening and trying to grasp and trying to fit it in your mind and fit it in your heart, how beautiful it becomes. Amen. The Lord's here tonight. God's wanting to minister to somebody. Amen. Would you lift your hands and just receive what God's trying to give you tonight? Amen. God's trying to let somebody be brought back to that old well that maybe the enemy has covered up. Amen. And God wants you to re-dig down. Amen. And get a taste of the waters of life. Oh, God. God wants you to, you've been thirsting for something. You can't find anything that'll quench your thirst. But the Holy Ghost is here tonight. Amen. Oh, friend, God wants to put your mouth to that bucket again and let you get that taste of His Spirit. He wants it to more than just trickle inside of your throat, but God wants to fill your soul with it. God wants it to flow all over you, inside and outside of you again. God wants you to feel that freedom and joy, that power, that peace, that contentment. Amen. Doesn't He say godliness with contentment is great gain? God wants that great gain of His treasure to be in your life. Amen. God wants the goodness of His Spirit to remain. Hallelujah. Would you love the Lord back right now? Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody begin to give the Lord words of love. Amen. Means of love tonight. Lord, I love and I thank You for Your goodness. Oh, thank You tonight, God, for Your Spirit. Thank You, God, for the treasures. Thank You for the testimony, Lord, the evidence that I have all my life, God. Hallelujah, of Your precious glory, Your precious peace. Hallelujah, stand in this building. I feel Jesus right now. I feel like God wants to do something. Woo. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 I feel like God wants to give somebody the shout back. God wants to give the joy back. God wants to give peace back. God wants to give substance back to you that the enemy has taken from you. Oh, but friend, my God has it for you. Seek the Lord. Oh, seek the Lord tonight. Amen. Come on, He's near. He can be found. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seeks Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Won't you let your bucket down tonight? With joy shall you draw waters from the wells of salvation.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Can I ask you to come and just gather around the front with me tonight? Amen. Come on, just for a few moments, would you come and just bathe with us tonight and drink with us? Amen. From the fountain. Come on, let's just gather just close tonight right here in this area. Amen. Don't gather to the side. Come gather close around the front. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel there's something important tonight in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God wants to refresh. God wants somebody's heart to be full tonight. Hallelujah. God wants to wash and cleanse. Hallelujah. All the dust out of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Lord, right now. God, I love and I trust you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Just let the Lord love you and minister to you. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost minister to you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, get in that right lane tonight. Hallelujah. Get in that right lane, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you're beautiful and righteous and holy. Hallelujah. Thank you for the beauty of your power and your spirit tonight. Come on, don't miss your time tonight with the Lord, saint of God. Hallelujah. There's a treasure for somebody tonight to pick up. Amen. There's something he wants to give you more than a souvenir. It's the Savior's touch tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let the glory of the Holy Ghost minister. Come on, let him have his way with you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship and we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let the Spirit of God minister tonight in this place. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost work on you. Let God tune some things back. Let him tune some things in your heart and life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Come on, there's some riches he wants you to gain tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Beautiful you are, Jesus. Worthy you are, Jesus. Lovely you are, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I treasure you, Lord. I treasure your touch tonight, Lord. I treasure your grace. I treasure the way of your spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Come on, touch him. He wants to touch back tonight. He wants to love you back. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you tonight, God. Nothing else matters, God. Nothing else matters. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, mean it when you sing it. Mean it tonight. Come on, let the master work. Let the master work. Let the master work.
Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens.
Jesus.
Jesus, be the center.
That is all
about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus at the center of
yes, 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 yes.
From beginning to the end.
Hallelujah.
It will always be. It's always been you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, it's our obligation, but it's also our privilege. Even to stay right here in the channel of the Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you step next to somebody? Just put your arm around them if it's appropriate. Amen. And I want you to pray for that person near you right now. Pray with him. Amen. Lord, let your beauty, your power, your flow, God, let your flow, God, make a difference in us. Make a difference in us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Make a difference in us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we want more than connection. We want that flow. We want that flow. We want that glory. The operation of your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Undeniable, God. Undeniable evidence of your glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. The meaning, God, the sacredness, God, let it matter. Let it mean something to us, Lord, tonight. We worship, we love you, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and power. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray you could take this with you tonight. Take it to go. Don't leave it in the church. What good would it be if what God is trying to give over tonight, we leave it here? Amen. Praise God. Take it with you. Amen. We appreciate our guests being with us tonight. Amen. And I want to say, you bring that baby tonight. You got that baby with you? I'm so excited to see this mama bringing that baby to the house of God. I'm telling you, that's the way to start that baby's life.